Hello, everyone. This is Karina from Break Fear, Find Freedom. And I'd like to ask you a question today. Well, maybe not so much a question as in what happens when you meet a fellow podcaster and you meet them on LinkedIn, right? Where it's broad, it's open, and it's such a new kind of environment for me where I've met people, but most of them are like trying to sell me stuff. So it's like, oh, come on. And then you meet someone who's just like, oh, refreshing, and is just out there to collaborate and to join in and to share things so that we can grow together. And that's where Jamie Coolman comes in. So let's take it from here. So sit back, listen, and listen for all the insights and nuggets from Jamie. Hello, Jamie. Oh. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you. What a beautiful introduction. Yeah, I'm excited for this conversation. Doing well? Happy to be here.
Yes. Thank you, Jamie. I'm doing very well. I mean, how can you not do well? I live in California, not so far from the beach. It's a beautiful day. What more do I want in life, right?
Right. So true.
So, Jamie, tell us a bit about who Jamie is. And I know that's a loaded question. So maybe we'll start with Jamie, the podcaster, right? And then we'll go into the fun, fear-based stuff.
Yeah, sure. Jamie as a podcaster. I definitely love to share as authentic and vulnerably as I can, especially like the journey of entrepreneurship, which, wow. It is a journey. It is a crazy journey and is not for the faint of heart. So I really love using my podcast as a way to document that journey and that experience. And that's where my business really naturally has progressed to helping others not only start a podcast, but like build out the back end of their business so that, you know, they're building a business machine that allows them to, like we said, go to the beach on a Monday or spend time traveling the world with their family. And so that's what we really just stepped into. And so Jamie as a podcaster is living life with the highs and the lows and sharing that experience with others and trying to help them on their journeys as well.
Oh, I love that. That's perfect. And I have to just go back about the entrepreneurial journey. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's really
for sure.
Simple, faint-hearted. But I think some of us wouldn't have it any other way because the thought of sitting in the same job in a cubicle for 20 years is worse than death, I think.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Well, for some of us, but that's just by and by as a joke, really. But what I wanted to ask you is a bit about fear, because we know we spoke earlier offline, and I'm just going to divert before we go into your business, right, about fear. And you took a really big leap of faith, you and your family, in December.
So
tell us a bit about what you did and all the fear, because this is Break Fear, Find Freedom, hey? All the fear surrounding that huge leap of faith that you made.
Yeah. Well, I'll start by saying, like, I'm a big journaler. So over the past couple of years, I've been journaling, like, I try to every day. I'm not, like, perfect about it. But I try each day to write down, like, more the full vision for life and the vision for business. And so I'm really clear on what it is that I'm building and what I want to step into. And every day I found myself writing, like, I want to travel the world in luxury in a home that's ours, because we were doing the travel the world in luxury part. Like, we were doing that, but we were living out of suitcases the whole time. And that was really frustrating, because we would constantly be like selling all of our stuff or donating all of our stuff and having to kind of restart. And it kind of took the joy out of part of the traveling part. It made it more stressful. And then you have like my Jeep was like full of stuff that every time we would stop on our way somewhere new, like we were going from Nebraska to Florida, and the whole way, every time we stopped, there was just stuff flying out of the car just because we overloaded them with stuff. So it was constant purging of things. And I was always writing down, like, I want to be able to take our home with us. And I was not ready when my fiance asked if we wanted to buy a house. It's like, I don't want that. I just don't. I don't want the typical 9-to-5 job and the house and the land. And it just wasn't for me. It didn't say freedom, like what I really wanted. So I've been writing down that I wanted an RV, an RV to travel the world in luxury for like 7 years. And I had researched all of them. Like, we were really clear. I even picked out the exact one. Then we moved to a Sprinter van. We were looking at Class C's. And then we okay, let me stop there for a second. So then what happened was we were at a house for a year. We were actually renting a house in Colorado after a couple of years on Maui. We were renting a house. And the whole time I was there, I was like, this is what it would look like if we had bought our own house, except we would have owned it. Right. And I'm like, it just doesn't feel like what I really want. It doesn't feel like it aligns with this vision that I've been writing down. That was never a part of it. And so on December 1st, we thought that we had until January 14th to move out of this house that we were renting. Yeah. I read the lease on December 1st. It said we actually had until December 31st to move out.
Oh.
Okay. So we just lost 2 weeks. I don't know what we're going to do. So we were in this dance of, do we keep extending and just stay longer? Or do we give ourselves 30 days to build this dream life and dream business so that we can be more free? And I was like, you know what? Let's do the one that's so super, super scary, and let's just make it happen. So that day we put in our notice and we started making moves to actually like make this life happen. The one that I've been writing down for so long. And it was so scary. Like it was scary because we knew we had no RV. We had no vehicle to drive with it. Like we had a vehicle, but not one that would work for this life. And a baby. So we knew we were going to be giving up childcare, and Steve was going to be giving up his job. And there was just so many scary things happening that most people probably would have just honestly not done it because there's so many things that were uncertain. That was a scary decision, but we took the leap and we just decided like we can either keep living this way, which doesn't feel right, or we can just decide today to just make the other thing happen. So that's what we did.
I love it. So how did you do that? Like hold hands and close your eyes like you see in the movies and just jump into the cliff? Or like what kind of emotions, and how did that actually lead to that point where you said, okay, you know what? Hey, let's just do it.
Yeah. Oh, I remember sitting Steve down, that's my fiance, and I was like, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I just need you to trust me. I need you to trust that we're going to make this work and we're going to figure it out. And I will say like, it was just really scary, but I remember sitting down and I was journaling, of course. And I kind of wrote out like, if we were to continue living this life or even go buy a house and just do the more normal path versus this. And I kind of wrote down which one, and I was like, one is not exciting me at all. And the other one is so scary, but it's exciting to me and it's unknown and it's crazy. So, I mean, really, I think we meditated on it that night. We kind of lit candles. We made it an experience and we just decided let's make this happen. And as soon as we did that, it was interesting because we're like, okay, we want to find our RV by this weekend. And it was like, I don't remember what day the first was. I don't feel like it was a week though. I think we had like 4 days. And we went to Lazy Days and we were looking at RVs. We landed on a Class C we loved. And I was like, Steve, let's go check out that big one over there. Let's go look at the big rig. fell in love. We fell in love. But the point here is like, because we made the decision to make it happen by Saturday, we were sold on a unit by Saturday. Okay. And then what was interesting after that, because we made the decision, like so many people did indecision for too long. But when we gave ourselves like this, we could have allowed this experience to take 4 months.
Yes.
But we didn't.
Yes.
We didn't give 30 days. Okay. So it was like make the decision, set a deadline to it. And then we were like, okay, we want to get a rig by this weekend. Saturday we knew which one we were getting. Then we're like, we don't have a vehicle to pull this 14,000 pound thing. Well, it's crazy how things align when you step outside of your comfort zone, because then my dad just said, hey, I'm going to come drive to Colorado. Happens to be near a dealership where we've got a friend. I'm just talking about alignment here. Okay. We've got a really good family friend. I called him up. He's got a Mercedes dealership. He has one truck on his lot. And it's a truck that we need to pull this.
I love it.
We had the deal done in 2 days. My dad was driving it by the next Friday and we locked it in, but it was, I think the whole moral of this story is like, if you've been being called to do something for not just like a couple of weeks, but like a couple months or a couple of years, like that's something you're supposed to lean into, and just decide to do it, but don't give yourself a year. I hate that. It's like, oh, I'm going to get it done like in the next year. It's like, no, Come on. You could do it in like a month. Let's go. Yes. You don't have to wait.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I love that. I love that. Because then you have all the synchronicities. And for me, that's the most exciting part, where you have the synchronicities exactly. like you did, and everything just aligns and it just works.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so funny that I was listening to Steve Pressfield, you know, the Resistance. Ah, can't remember his book now. It's a famous book. Anyway, I was listening to, because I've got another, I do other work, you know, besides this. And suddenly I realized, wow, you know how we resist things. We resist things and we say, you know what? It's exactly what you were saying. No, I have to wait to finish this, or I have to do that before I can do what I really would love to do. Or I have to retire, or I have to get married, or like, why do we do that to ourselves? And then it's so painful. And then we wonder why we hit blocks all the time. Whereas when we just say, let's take that leap and jump, and then everything just like, oh, just falls into place. It's like a symphony. I think you can understand what Beethoven or Mozart must have felt like, right? At that point.
For sure. Yeah, it's like things could, okay. It, like if we would have put off this big thing of getting the RV and just committing to this life, and we would have waited to figure out all the things, like we'd probably still be in that house right now. And it's 3 months later. Like seriously, it's wild how that works. But you make the big decision, commit to the big thing, all the little things are going to work themselves out.
Yes.
And we still don't know what we're doing. Like you think we're organized, like we had no place to stay this week. On Saturday, we woke up and we're like, hey, where are we going to go tonight? Because that was one of the big things we were worried about. Where are we going to park this thing? But we found a place off grid. So now we're off grid for the first time ever. And so you make it work. Yes. You find a way. Not to say that you should be as unorganized as me about this, but it's fine. Just do it.
Yes. And that's the exciting part, because you find places and you've been led to places like being off grid, right?
Exactly.
Places where you would never have even dreamt of before. So the adventure just gets more and more exciting.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. But how much more fear have you experienced?
Oh my gosh. Since we started this, a lot. It's weird thing. It's almost like life before a baby versus life after one. This is life in a house versus life in an RV. Everything is harder. Everything. We have to worry about our water supply and whether or not we're going to have enough water to last another day or two. You have to dump the toilet water, which is not a lot of fun. And like that fills up too, right? Propane, we run out of propane, and that's what we need to actually stay warm in here. Like Steve had the propane that he filled up yesterday, and we thought it was going to explode when we were driving home, and we almost got carbon monoxide like poisoning in the car, right? Like it's little things like that we never, ever, ever had to worry about or think about before. And like, we're off electric right now. And so, you know, we got a generator, but that runs out of gas, little things like that you don't even have to worry about. So the whole thing is fearful. It can be fear-based, but we're just rolling with it. It's a lot of work. But it's also a really beautiful experience. Like I'm looking out at a mountain range right now, right? Like that's really cool, right?
That is very, very cool.
And before I would have been sitting at home in an office waiting for Steve to come home, and Kai was at daycare, right? So it's really neat. I'm appreciative of everything, even with the fear in between.
I love that. And then you were saying that Steve had to leave his job. So then what happened? So because you've got your business. Mm-hmm. So what happened with Steve? Did he find it? I mean, obviously he couldn't find another job. He has to work like at home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been a challenge because, you know, he went to school for so long to get the job that he had as an occupational therapist. And so him needing to find his own way, find his own path has been difficult for him to decide what he wanted to do. Like he was coming onto my team to help me with certain aspects, but it doesn't light him up so much, right? It's my thing. It's my baby that's grown up. And so I think it's hard for someone who's close to you to come in on that. It takes a very specific type of person. So he does some things, he coaches and he does sales and stuff for me, but he also does his own crypto stuff. So that's what's keeping him entertained during the day. I think he's doing it right now, actually. But yeah, it's fearful.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes. Yeah. But another thing that keeps you creative, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's allowing him to finally, for the first time, decide, hey, what do I really want to do with my time and with my life? Where, you know, before it was the same thing, kind of him told what to do from his jobs. And so this is giving him a new sense of freedom as well, which it could be fearful, but also it's not. When you look at it in the other way, like what's scarier, staying in the same thing that it doesn't really light you up or choosing to change your life? I mean, I think the scariest thing you could ever do is not make a change when you're not happy.
Yes, yes, yes. You think that it's easier to stay in your comfort zone, like, oh, you know what, like I'll leave this bad marriage when the kids grow up or whatever. You know, that's the usual thing you hear people say. And you think, wow, you know, that is soul destroying, really. Yeah. It's easier to say, you know what, cut the losses and let's just move on. And we also save the children. I mean, that's random, but I'm just saying. So that's exciting. So have you found your freedom, Jamie?
Yeah, it's a loaded question right now. because it's been really difficult. We actually had this conversation this morning of like, it's really difficult to find our new routine in this life. I mean, we're here, we've now been on the road since January, and it's beginning of March. And so yes and no, yes and no.
Yes,
in the fact where, you know, home is where we park it, which is really epic. If we wanted to go and drive to you in California tomorrow morning, we could, which is really neat. And our home is with us. And there's nothing more rewarding than like unhooking and having my dog and my baby like go inside and know exactly where their stuff is and be comfortable, and having our whole fridge already packed and just all of our things to make us comfortable in our own bed, which is right behind me. Like, it's just really cool. That's amazing. So like that freedom is cool. And like, we're going to load up the truck tonight with like a fire pit and our food. And we're going to go, we have this epic spot right here, and we're going to just, you know, watch the sunset with the Sedona Mountains in the background. So that kind of freedom.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yes, right. And like the freedom to, you know, right when we get off here, we're going to go to the park. We're going to take our son, and it's the afternoon on a Thursday. Most people would be working. So that kind of freedom, yes. But where we're still working out the is the freedom to be able to cut off. Like, I've decreased my work hours a lot doing this, but it's not at the level at which I yet want it. So we're still working on that, but I don't think it ever will be fully because it'll always be changing and evolving. But yeah, there's definitely still some work to do there for sure.
Well, it's exciting because it's changing and you're just flowing with it. So that's pretty cool.
Really. We got to wake up earlier. Like, I will say that, like, we wake up now at 5:30 and it's just not enough time. So like, we've created a plan actually today. We want to start waking up 4:30 would be great, but at least 30 minutes earlier. That way we can actually do our morning routine and then get in like an hour or two of work before our son wakes up. That way when he is awake, like neither of us are working. When he's there, we can be more present, at least to give him like his specific time before we do any type of work. So I think that's something that we're going to implement that's going to help increase the freedom. So like, If you're listening and you don't feel like you have enough time or you don't feel like you have enough freedom, like the one thing you can control is getting up earlier. That's how you create more time. So that's what we're going to start doing here since we have a 2-year-old who requires a lot of attention during the day and we lost our nanny.
Yes, of course. But that's perfect because I find that I try and get up also at 4 or 5 in the morning because then you get time to do your, and it's the best time. Because it's quiet and it's almost, so it makes a huge difference. So by the time at 10 o'clock or whatever, you've had your whole day and then you've got time to do your walk or do whatever. So it's exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So tell me a bit, Jamie, now you found your freedom. Tell me a bit about the business. What exactly do you do as a podcaster besides podcasting? Yeah, but I know you've got back end stuff. And
I have like three pillars that I help people with. So like pillar number one is building up their brand and really fine tuning their messaging. So let's just call it like fixing the formula for marketing in their business so they can generate more revenue, right? Mm-hmm. Messaging, offer, understanding like how to be the authority in their niche, right? And that's where a podcast comes into play. Like that's a really great way, especially when you're ranking, especially when you have a top global podcast. Like it's an incredible way to network with industry movers and shakers and get more leads for your business. So that's really the first pillar that I walk people through. The second one is using our podcast sales machine. So that's how you actually take, let's look at the podcast and like social media content is the top of your funnel, right? That's where you can generate leads. But I always compare this to a fire, okay? A campfire, of course.
Of course.
So if you've got a campfire set up and you're adding, say, like fuel to the fire, but there's no fire lit, it's not really going to work. It's not going to do anything. You can't add lighter fluid to a dead fire.
Yes.
So if we're creating content on social media, if we're creating podcasts, but the fire is not burning, adding more leads isn't going to matter, right? Mm. Being the authority isn't going to matter, right? I talk to people all day long. Oh, I sold 30,000 copies of my book, but I got no leads and I made no sales. Like besides that, it's like, what? And they have programs too that they want to sell people into because they know that that's how they're really going to help them. So that's where our podcast sales machine comes into play. That's where we help them develop the back end of their funnel to where they can actually convert these listeners who are raising their hands into actual clients for their business. And they can scale from there. So yeah, that podcast sales system is the second phase to that. And then the third is, yes, networking with industry movers and shakers for additional positioning and priming your audience that way as well.
I love that. I love that. And it makes perfect sense, right? So where do people find you anyway, just before we carry on?
On LinkedIn, Jamie Coleman, K-U-L-L-M-A-N, or on Instagram, Coach with Jamie.
Okay, so well, all the details will be in the description box at the below anyway. So tell me, how did you devise this? What made you decide to do this?
I would say, I started my own business when I was 15, and when my friends were all working at coffee shops or, you know, doing other things, not to say I didn't have real jobs like that, but when I was sitting on the beach in Florida, I made a couple $100s and I was like, 16 years old. I mean, that's when I was like, okay, I can't go back and do anything else besides this, because it showed me entrepreneurship for the first time and that, you know, you don't have to exchange time for money. You actually should exchange money for more time. And so, that's where I first dropped into that experience. And then I went down the road of personal development and realized that my business growth was a direct reflection of my personal growth. And so the two are one. And that's when it really became clear that that business had served me for a long time. But it was time to let it go because it was one other thing to pull my attention to. So I think that was like a big pivotal moment for me. And this actually happened pretty recently when I decided to, a couple of years back, when I decided to cut off anything that wasn't my purpose. And I decided to like let that go. And I did like other odd jobs, right? Like property management and this eBay business. And right. And so I decided enough is enough. No more of doing those things. I need to really be focused on the one thing. And so that also really changed things as well. Focus.
Yes. It's always that because we, as entrepreneurs, you know, you have, there's that, the ideas never stop, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a crazy idea machine and it's so easy to get distracted. I need to do this. Yeah. Oh, no, I want to do this. It's that shiny object syndrome. So definitely. It takes a lot of courage and self-knowledge to be able to say, you know what, this is what I want to do. I'm not interested in anything else. So, you know, like what was it? And of course, like it's a whole process, right? But how did you feel once you did that, once you made that cut and said, no, this is where I'm going, this is it, I'm not doing any more shiny stuff?
Yeah.
Change and shift.
Yeah, I think that it was a hard decision too, right? Because those businesses were working, like it was making me money, right? Like a lot of times, I feel like a lot of times the struggle for entrepreneurs is like they try a bunch of things and they don't work. And granted, I did that too, right? Like I started an online clothing boutique at one point, like come on. I think I sold one thing to myself. Okay. So like I tried a bunch of things. I did Amazon FBA. That was working really well. Another thing I shut down, right? Like yes. I was private labeling, manufacturing my own products. It was selling like crazy. I shut everything down that wasn't in alignment. And it was scary because that's where I was getting most of my money.
Yes.
Right. And that was hard. It was hard, but there, it was this decision of like, I can't do all of these things well. I mean, yes. I can do them okay and they can be okay enough to make me a living. But if I want to go all in and like truly trust, then I have to let go of even those things that are serving me. And I think it was a realization of like, it served me at that time, but what got you here won't get you there. It was what like kept going through my mind. So I had to let go of what got me there to get here. And same thing, I'll have to let go of something else soon, I'm sure. Like we let go of that whole life. I think that's like the theme of this episode, right? Like we let go of that other life to get here. You've got to let go of what got you where you are right now.
And I found that that's always the most difficult thing. So how did you get the courage to say, well, I mean, I know we spoke about you getting this life, right? But how do you have the courage to let go of the other stuff? I mean, what do you do? Like say, okay, enough is enough. Because a lot of us have to be right down and out and broken and before we say enough is enough. But it doesn't sound like you were at that point. So what did you do? What was that process in your mind that allowed you to do that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And if my fiance heard me saying that, he'd be like, Jimmy, stop it. Because I always say that. But it's true. So like from my journey, like I mentioned before, we would pack all of our stuff into a suitcase and like we were constantly getting rid of stuff. I realized things weren't important. I mean, I get it. Some things are like, I need this laptop. I need these headphones to listen to you. Like I get it. And I like things, but I also don't need them. And so I think what happened on this journey is I started letting go of things, which I used to like have a lot of things, right? I started letting go of them and realizing I look back now, I don't miss anything. Honestly, at least things like people, of course, but not things. And some people, that's true. Some people I don't miss at all. But so I think that was the letting go in the beginning. It looked like something small. It looked like, oh, letting go of a storage unit full of things that I haven't looked at or needed for 2 years. Like I remember, so I was holding onto a storage unit in Nebraska. And I remember each time I would go back there, right? Because I would visit every year, every 6 months or something. And I would always go back to my storage unit. And each time I got rid of more and more stuff. The last time I went there, I got rid of all of it. And I just donated every single thing, right? Because I was like, why do I keep wasting my time coming back here, combing through stuff? I'm never going to use this stuff again. I haven't missed it in 3 years. What am I doing? And so that's where it started. It became you let it go and you're not going to miss it. And then it became I think the courage came from trust. This whole process has required so much trust. It's like, no, I trust this is what I meant to be doing. And I trust that like by me, like telling the universe, being like, no, I don't need anything else. I don't need any other business. This is the thing. And I know that and I trust it. And then being able to now be at a point where I can be looking at such little nuanced type of things inside of the business because I've given it all my focus, it's scaling and it's growing faster. And I'm able to make more impact because of that trust.
Yes.
Trust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now I'm going to have to ask this question. Okay. Trust. Yeah. It's huge, right? Trust and faith. How do you know and how do you trust?
Yeah.
Loaded question. I know.
Yeah. Well, I think you know once it's starting to really feel right. Okay. So like for me, when I was first getting started, I was writing down all the things that I wanted in my life. And I realized like the business that I was building allowed for all of those things to be a reality. And so it became, okay, I've just got to trust that it might not be now, but it's coming. And this vision is just going to continue to expand as I continue to expand. So it has, right? It's grown a lot since I first started doing that. And like a lot of things are true, right? Like we're living this now. So I think the trust came from just like starting to see a lot of momentum happen and trust in knowing like if it shifts, if it changes, it's fine because we're all still growing, right? Just like you are, like we're all on this experience together. So the trust is hard. There are definitely days where I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to hit the pause because I'm not trusting right now. And I listen to a lot of trust the universe meditations, and I do mantras about it too, like on days that are hard, because there are days that are really hard, but yeah, it's still worth it. And I'd say like 95% of the time I do fully trust, because it's just, one more thing to this is like, I also realize in like all the hard times and all the failures, like 100%, there's always been a lesson and I wasn't ready for that next level, even though I thought I was. And so I think that's a big thing too, is just acknowledging like in those moments where you lack trust, it's like, no, whatever is happening is truly, truly what you're meant to experience. So just trusting that you're meant to go through that, whatever it is.
Yes. And that's always so difficult because it's easy to like blame or to scream at the universe, like, why is this happening to me? You know, the usual stories. So that also takes a big thing. But now I want to ask you a question. So what do you do on those days when you don't trust, when it's like, I'm not aligned here. There's something that's not happening. I'm not trusting that I'm in the right place at the right time. What do you do?
Yeah, I usually try to stop, stop what I'm doing. And like, I'll do a meditation if I'm ever feeling that way. I'll do a meditation. I'll journal, definitely, or do like mantras. I have mala beads, so I'll do that. Take a walk, just shut it off. Maybe go to the park or go on a hike or something. Like, those are the best things to do. Just get yourself out of that environment, because sitting there is just going to make it spiral and get worse. So I think that's another thing. A lot of people, especially on the beginning of their journey, they think they've got to figure it out right now.
Yeah.
And it's just like a snow globe, right? Like if you continue to shake it, the snow is going to keep going around and around and around, but you just set it down and let it settle. And then that's like your mind. Your mind's going to settle and everything's going to be okay.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that, because suddenly everything gets clearer.
Exactly.
Sometimes you're just frustrated with the computer, or it's just not playing the game or whatever it is. It's easy to just take a breath and move away instead of throwing it out the window or having a tantrum.
Right. And like, that's like us, right? Like silly things like the internet not connecting, right? Taking all day. It's like, okay, cool. Not meant to be online today. That's cool. Let's just do something else.
Yes.
You know, you just kind of have to go with the flow.
I know. And that takes a lot of courage as well. But then, of course, once you go with the flow, then things also work better, right? Instead of trying to fight that flow all the time.
Definitely. Yeah, completely agree.
Oh, that's very exciting. So where to from here? So like you in Sedona right now, right? Sounds like beautiful. I have to go. It sounds like a heavenly, beautiful, like majestic place. The energy must be amazing there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's like vortexes all over and these beautiful red mountains. And we actually, so we were invited to a retreat center to actually park our home in there for month to month, which will be nice. So we're going to do that. They do ceremonies and rituals and yoga every day. And what we were looking for, but didn't realize we were looking for. So it actually found us, which is really cool. Once again, trust. I threw it up on a Facebook group and then it found us. I'm like, okay, this is awesome. See, like I said, if we would have planned out the next 3 months, like a normal sane person would do, we wouldn't have been able to accept this opportunity. But since I just go with the flow, we can accept, which is really cool. So our plan is we're going to go see the property next week, but assuming we love it as much as we think we will, we'll be there for probably 2 months before we head to Utah. And then we're going to go up into Canada over the next year or so till it gets cold again, actually, I should say. And we'll spend the summers on Maui. But yeah, in regards to like business, it's scaling up the business and then scaling myself out as much as possible.
Yes.
So I'll show up and do what I love, but my team will do the rest, which is exciting. Yeah, I mean, that's really what that looks like. Continuing to show up, serve, grow the message, and grow the impact.
Very good. And then once you start scaling yourself out, right, and your team takes over, what then? I know that's like far in the future, but I'm just wondering, what are you going to do? Do you have any other exciting projects that you're thinking about?
Yeah, well, so I already have a team that's helping with a lot of things right now. And I'm very thankful for that. And I look back and I remember like when I didn't have anybody helping me with this, like, wow, how did I do all that? Because now they save me in so many places. Like, it's amazing. So I'm already pretty free from things, but gosh, having another person on the team would be really helpful. So I think after that happens, gosh, I'll be able to focus more on the business. I don't want to be in it at all.
Yes.
So when you can focus on it, I'll just be able to scale up even faster and even, you just scale up faster and show up doing more of what I love, right? Which having more time for this, having more time to coach my clients, without distraction, without anything else that I need to do, which is, it's exciting. And it's happening quick. So I'm hoping in the next 60 days or less. So freedom is coming even more so.
Wow. But again, when you're in the flow and when you're in the right place at the right time and you just know, it just flows and it just works.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
For sure.
It's beautiful. So where can people find you?
What yeah, I would say.
Looking for?
What was the last part? I heard the first part.
What kind of people resonate with your business?
Yeah, like a lot of times, it'll be like an author, for example, who's written a book and maybe they've like the person I mentioned before, they've sold a lot of copies, but you know, they have a program that still is hearing crickets, right? Or someone who is put all this time, energy, and effort into like building their website, building their program, building their course, but then they're like, it's really difficult to get people their attention online because there's so much noise. And so a lot of times it's authors and speakers, definitely coaches and consultants, more those who are scaling up. I really like to work with people who want to move quickly. I move fast, not fast as in, too fast, but fast as in let's get it done so we can move forward and grow this thing. Yes. Yeah. So that's who I really like to help. But really anybody who's looking to get more leads, make more sales and become the celebrity in their niche is really who I like to help if that resonates with anyone. But you could find my podcast Aligned with Purpose and Life and Leadership or find me over on one of the social media platforms, Jamie Coleman or Coach with Jamie.
I love it. It's beautiful. That's exactly what it is. Like you just go out and come on. Okay, everyone, just connect with Jamie because that's what you want. You want to be a celebrity in your niche. I love it. Instead of saying expert, but celebrity is much more exciting.
Right? Yeah. and then the celebrity, or at least to your clients, that makes money too, let's be honest.
Yes.
Because that's how you can help more people. So
yes. Okay, Zain, I'm going to just ask you this last question.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You brought it up, right? That's always the big thing, right? Is especially as a coach or a consultant or a healer or whatever it is, people always think, you know what, I shouldn't be making money. You know, I should be doing this for free for the love of whatever because I'm a bad person if I do whatever, you know? So I'd like to reiterate what you were saying about the money. So it's okay to earn money, right? It's okay. In fact, money gives you possibilities.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about what you think.
Yeah. Well, if you're not charging people, then they're probably not going to take it seriously. Okay. Here's an example of this. I launched a mentorship program. Okay. I had a lot of people sign up for this giveaway that I did a few months ago. And so I was like, you know what? They signed up because it was free. Let's give them more of what they want. And so I gave them a free trial to something that I had, right? We had like six people sign up for this free trial. I was like, you guys are crazy. Like, my coaching is $15,000 and I'm letting you experience it for free for 30 days. Are you kidding me? This should be blowing up right now. What's happening?
Yes, and
I had the people who did sign up before we ever got started, were actually starting to back out. I never even gave them access to anything. They never showed up for a coaching call. Okay. Because there was low perceived value because I didn't charge for it.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes.
I'm so glad that I went through that because now I can share the story. but then what happened? They were all like, Jamie, I want a mastermind. I want like a higher level. Like this thing, even though I could have easily made it the same exact thing, they were like, we want a mastermind. Basically, we want to pay you a lot of money. I was like, okay, cool. I'll create that. Right. And so now we've been selling like this high ticket, this high ticket mastermind, and they're selling out. And because it's like, people want to be invested in the thing so that they're motivated to show up. Because if they're not, okay, if you're listening to this, have you ever signed up for something that you got for free, or maybe it was $7 or $29 and you never opened it and you never did anything with it? I've done that.
I think I spent like
$99 on a course one time and I didn't even open it. Right.
Yes.
But
yes.
If I would have spent $9,900 on that course, you better believe I would have been opening it up and like, literally this must change my life because I spent like 10 grand on it. Right.
Yeah. You're right.
And so there's a low perceived value. So if you as a coach or consultant aren't charging, what are you doing? Because first off, you're doing your client a disservice. Because they're not going to take it serious. It's just the truth. And you're doing yourself a disservice because how are you going to hire team members? How are you going to scale? How are you going to get your freedom back if you're working everything in your business because you can't afford help? It's crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy to me. I'm like so passionate about that. I'm like, charge more. Charge literally more and continue to raise your prices because you're growing, you're changing, you're evolving, and you're showing them the path. You're saving them a lot of time.
Yes, I love that. Well, thank you. That's because it's always something that always comes up, you know, and it's right. Because once you make all that money, you can help even more people.
Exactly.
Because you can do whatever you can, you know, because mm-hmm. you grow. And, well, that's a beautiful note to end, right?
Oh, for sure. Well, for sure. And I had a client like last week who was like, well, we were going through like the process and enrolling him. And he was like, I could go find someone cheaper. I could go do that. He's like, but this is going to push me. And I know you're the right person to learn from. So I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to show up and make sure I get results from it. So, yeah.
Yes, I love it. So on that note, don't be afraid to charge. In fact, let's do a challenge, right? Go and double your prices. See what happens.
Right?
Yeah.
See what kind of feedback you're getting, but also see what kind of objections you're getting and then make sure you're delivering and getting people results. But yes, if you're doing those things and you've been charging the same price for a while and your clients are experiencing transformation, then yeah, up that price, especially if you're not getting objections on a call.
Yes. 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 I love that. Of course. Yes. Delivery. You have to deliver. You have to be, good delivery and
sure.
service and all that. But that's just goes without saying.
Sure.
Wow. Thank
sure.
you so much, Jamie. This was awesome. I loved this. Thank you so much for your time and for showing us your beautiful place and letting us experience this life and this leap of faith.
Of course. So, yeah. Thank you.
And good luck with your business, and we will chat soon and see where you're at and what you're doing next.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so
thank
much.
You, Jamie. And thank you, everyone else, and we'll see you next week.